He was starting the Arachayim Parshas Vayikra, and again, as we mentioned last week, this is a nice opportunity. We get to crack open the binding of the second book in the series. Wanted to start on page Vav, which is Vayikra El Moshe, the very beginning of the Sedra. Vayikra El Moshe, he called to Moshe Rabbeinu, he being HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vaydaber Hashem Elov Me'ol Moed Leimon. Hashem spoke to him, to Moshe, from the Ol Moed, saying as follows. So ask the Arachayim, you know, the syntax over here is very odd. Tzarech Lodaf, Lama Lo Hizker Shem HaKore. And he called to Moshe. You don't start off a sentence using a pronoun. It should be Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. Right? Vaydaber Elov. Why is it that Hashem's name is omitted from the first phrase and is only put in the second phrase? Why doesn't it mention who did the calling? Right. Vayikra El Moshe. He called. He called to Moshe. That's number one. Yagam Shizkir Acharkach. And even though you'll tell me, well, you know, Hashem's name is mentioned later on in the pasuk, Vaydaber Hashem Elov, Min Haroi Laskir B'Tchila. Syntactically, it makes sense to put the Shem Hashem first in the pasuk, Vaykra Hashem El Moshe, and then Memelo move on Kihom Adaber Kishiyom Vaykra Hashem Vaydaber. It should say better, Vaykra Hashem El Moshe, Vaydaber Elov Me'ol Moshe. Vulai. Perhaps, so the Archive is going to suggest a couple of answers to the question. Why is it that God's name is left out of the first phrase in the very beginning of the Sefer? It makes it even stranger that it's the beginning of the Sefer where, you know, whenever you're beginning something new, you figure it's even more, you know, meaningful and, you know, makes even more sense to put the speaker, the name of the, you know, the subject of the sentence, you know, in the sentence. Okay.
That somebody says that the president called me, if you say that President Obama called me, spoke to me, that sounds like, you know, you say that I got a call, and I called the president, it shows, you know, the humility of Mahabu, not boasting about it. They say, President Obama called me, or I spoke to the president. So, first is
The Reuben wants to suggest that this question is of a piece with the famous Balaturim. You know, the Aleph in the end of Vayikra is small. Balaturim suggests that, you know, it's almost as if Moshe Rabbeinu was writing Vayikar El Moshe. You know, God happened upon Moshe Rabbeinu. So even Vayikra Hashem El Moshe, you know, or the fact that it omits Hashem and Vayikra El Moshe, also conveys that same idea. He called whoever he happens to be, and since this is introducing the idea of the Karbonos, the humility which Moshe Rabbeinu is displaying and downplaying, you know, the encounter he had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a prerequisite, you know, for the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It all fits together. So, there are times, yeah.
The
Archives can suggest a few different explanations, you know, for this phenomenon, the absence of Shem Hashem at the beginning of the Pasuk. Pulai. So, thought number one. Sheyachavir HaKosuv Lodiya Tatsu Mosov Yisporach. Perhaps the Pasuk is showing the greatness and the wonders of God. Sheyikra b'kol gadol, God called out to Moshe Rabbeinu with a great voice. V'lo yishmo'enu zulas es asher yachpots. But the only one who heard the voice was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu alone heard this booming voice. V'hu omro vayikra el Moshe. Shagam shekara, even though he called out, lo nishma hadibur, Ela El Moshe v'lo l'mishalafanov. This booming voice protruded out, and only Moshe Rabbeinu heard.
The frequency.
Right. The frequency was adjusted. So how does that fit back into the absence of Hashem's name? Hashem El Moshe had it identified. Hashem called out to Moshe. Tovin Hashem Karav Kol Gadol. That would imply God called out in a great voice that everyone could hear. Aval Hagas Hakol Moshe Hayu Bekol Namuch. She Yishar Moshe B'Daito She'efshu She'osim She'rokol Kinsas Ve'ena B'Samach Lo Yishmu Ve'en Kan Chidush Pela Hashem. Ze Omar Vayikro El Moshe Pirush Ki Gam L'Gavi Moshe Hayu Sakriya Bekol Gadol She'shama Kol Gadol. He called out to Moshe. But the only receiver was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Archaim says that's implied in omitting the Shem Hashem. We shouldn't think that this was just an ordinary conversation. This was, he called, but only Moshe Rabbeinu really received it, despite the fact that it was a nice loud voice. We were just talking this year before. We learned about Megillah before Meiriv, you know, so we spoke about the phenomenon of a Basco. So we quoted the Baal Shem HaKadosh in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, where the Baal Shem, well, he doesn't have a commentary, but he's quoted as saying that one of the bas calls mentioned in Pirkei Avos is of that kind of nature. You know, the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos says, V'choyom v'yom bas kol yovsis mehar charev, v'omeres, oy lehem labiris v'machrezis v'omeres, oy lehem labiris v'albana shel Torah. Every single day there's a bas call coming out from Har Sinai, which proclaims woe to the people of the world who have disgraced the Torah. So Baal Shem HaKadosh asked the question, we don't hear it. Where's this bas kol? Go to the Sinai Desert, you know. It's not exactly, you know, there's no bas kol, as far as we can tell, coming out from Har Sinai. So the Baal Shem says, a bas kol is not, like we think, God speaking over a megaphone. A bas kol is something which is heard within the neshama. And a person has to be attuned to hear this bas kol. Not everybody can hear a bas kol. Right? So in a very similar sense, you know, that's the Archaim is saying, the kol Hashem at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra is a kol gadol, it's a great loud voice, but one that only a Moshe Rabbeinu hears. Vayikra El Moshe. Right? And that, you know, leaving out the Shem Hashem, the subject, emphasizes the fact that it was a great call, but one that only Moshe Rabbeinu heard. Right. 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 Rabbi Reuben points out the pasuk called Gadol v'lo Yosef in Devarim. You know, the great voice that never stopped, according to Rashi's interpretation. Right. Two interpretations of that pasuk, but the great voice that never stopped. If it's still speaking, so why aren't we hearing it? Right. So it's not poshut, you know, to. You know, just because he's speaking doesn't necessarily mean that we hear, right? Old Niratam, another reason, Shlo Hiskir Shlo Yisbarach B'Kriya, that it doesn't mention Hashem's name, She Yoser Bocha L'maylas Hashem L'askira B'diva Shol Mitzvah Me'al HaKriya She'en Bo El Hazmano Be'alma Oderach Kavod L'fi HaMedrash. Says the Archaim, an interesting idea. You know, there are two verbs in this pasuk. First, Vayikro El Moshe, he called out to Moshe. What does it mean he called out to Moshe? So the Medrash explains that that's a hazmona, that's an invitation. Moshe Rabbeinu, come, I have what to teach you. So Moshe Rabbeinu readies himself, whatever that means exactly. And then, Vayidaber Hashem Elov, God spoke to him saying, this is now the meat and potatoes, this is the mitzvah. Adam ki achmiv mikem karbon Hashem. So what's more bekavetik, to mention Hashem's name by the invite, or to mention Hashem's name by the actual mitzvah? Obviously the mitzvah is more fundamental than the invite. You know, the Rabos Amir Velen mentioned, you know, that's just an invitation, right? But the mitzvah itself is the meat and potatoes. You know, to distinguish between these two things, not to confuse the invite with the substance, so Hashem's name is davka omitted by the first phrase, by Yikra El Moshe, that's just come on in, and then Hashem's name is davka mentioned by the second phrase in the pasuk, which is the actual mitzvah, Vayidaber Hashem Elof, the Olam Moed. Right? Interesting take-home lesson again, you know, just to apply this a little bit in a context outside of the Chumash, never confuse the invitation for the substance. Right? You know, often in life, you know, if you got, let's go back to Rabbi Rubin's example from before, the president called me. That's very nice the president called you. But what really matters in the end of the day is not the cover that the president called you. It's the substance of what he discussed with the president. Don't confuse the invite with the substance. Hashem lends his name to the substance, not just to the invite. The invite is a preliminary. The substance is what really mattered over here. Right? This happens so many times in life. I got accepted to yeshiva XYZ. That's nice. That's a prerequisite for learning. But the ikkar is what you do in the yeshiva, not that you got accepted to the yeshiva.
Right.
I propose to so and so. That's very nice. The invite is wonderful. We should celebrate that. That will make a l'chaim, will make a vart. It's very good. But you know, the ikkar is really the substance of the marriage which is going to be followed. You know, don't get caught up in, you know, some people get caught up in a beautiful chasana, you know, and then they forget about it the day after. And there's a week after, and there's a month after, and there's years after. Right? Don't confuse the invite with the substance. Don't confuse the preliminaries with the thing itself. Vayikra, that doesn't get Shem Hashem. Vayedaber, that gets Shem Hashem. That's the Aruch Hayim, I think, the take-home lesson, you know, from this idea of the Aruch Hayim. Another idea of the Aruch Hayim. Od Yesh Losei Stam Kefi HaMedrash, Medrash of Vayikra Rabba says as follows. Sha'omer Sha'oyu Aru Vonav Azakenim Omrim, Ein anu yodim ezem em chavif uvnei amakom el lemisha yikra Hashem. Aaron and his sons and the Zakenim were sitting around saying, you know, the Mishkan has just been erected. You know, we're not really sure who's the chosen one. That way they had a Havamita. They'd even after Matan Torah. Okay, you know, by Matan Torah Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen, but maybe after Matan Torah there would be someone else who would be receiving the communications from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they sat around saying, okay, who's going to be the chosen one? Whoever God calls out to. Right? So what happened? Vayikra Moshe. God called to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he made it clear that Kriya made it clear that he would be the one to be chosen to continue to receive communications from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Aaron, not his sons, and not the Zakenim. Well, I mean, what was the Havamina? So I can imagine as follows. Look, the same way that by the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu served during the Yemei HaMiluim, but then he handed over the job to Aaron and his sons. So maybe they figured, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, right? And now he's going to retire. He'll go on a speaking tour. He'll write a book. You know, my experiences on the mountain, right? And Aaron and his children, and the Zakenim maybe will take the gauntlet of leadership from there. Again, from our perspective many years later, since we know the end of the story, we can't even understand what they were thinking. But, you know, in theory, if you were there at that time, it's not an unreasonable sort of thing to think. Right? As Moshe Rabbeinu was the hero of Sefer Shmos, and maybe Aaron HaKohen would be the hero of Sefer Vayikra. Right? So, comes along the pasuk right at the get-go, and it says, Vayikra el Moshe. It sounds like from the erection of the Mishkan, so probably from Mishkanish Nisan and on. Mishkanish Nisan and on, yeah. It's right around this time of year. Hinei Lefiza Ein Makom Lahaskir Shmo B'Kriya. So when you look at it from that perspective, you know, it makes sense to omit Shem Hashem when talking about the Kriya. Why? Ki Maimer V'Yikra Hu Ina Avchon Hashem Misafim Lo Gedol Yisrael L'mi Yikra Hashem. Meaning as follows. The chiddush of this first phrase is not that God called, it's to whom he called. You know, as if we were going to, you know, express this in English, we would say, we were going to express this verbally, we wouldn't translate the first phrase, he called to Moshe, but he called to Moshe. Right? In other words, he called to Moshe in contradistinction to Aaron, to Aaron's sons, to the Zakenim. So the subject of the sentence is deliberately omitted because the point of the pasuk is to underscore who the object is, who the recipient is, who's getting the call, right? Again, to go back to the example of the president calling, the president, you know, he called me. Right, that's the stress over here. That's what we're focusing on. We know who did the calling, but you know, at the end of Sefer Shmos, so to speak, everyone's waiting around with bated breath. Okay, who's going to be the hero of Sefer Vayikra? And Sefer Vayikra opens up dramatically. Dum dum drum roll. Vayikra el Moshe. He chooses Moshe Rabbeinu. And now we can go on with the rest of the story. Vayidaber Hashem Eloh. Right, but think of the ending of Sefer Shmos. For lo yachol Moshe lavo elo el moed kishochan al lavo onan. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come into the Ol Moed, right, because the onan was upon it. In fact, you know, who's the one person who can go into the Kodesh HaKodashim once the Mishkan is finished? Aaron HaKohen. Right, in fact, you know, there's a famous story from the Vilna Gaon that Bizman, the Bizman that Aaron HaKohen was alive, he was able to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim, not just on Yom Kippur. The Vilna Gaon says, if you look through the whole parasha of Achrimos, it implies that it wasn't just on Yom Kippur that Aaron HaKohen, you know, was able to go into the Kodesh Kodashim. Whenever he did the Avodah Siyom HaKippur, the Avodah Victorious, he was able to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Right? So again, whether you accept that or not, the end of, you know, self-called self, at the end of Sefer Shmos, Aaron HaKohen is actually in a better position in a certain respect than Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen has access into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Moshe Rabbeinu can't come in when the Onon is on top of the Ohel Moed. Keep the Onon a royal HaKaporis, but when there's an Onon on top of the Kaporis, the Onon of Ktoris, you know, so then Aaron HaKohen Bavka is able to go in. So, you know, it's not so crazy to think that Aaron HaKohen can tread where Moshe Rabbeinu can't tread. So it's not so crazy to think that Aaron HaKohen would be the one to receive Sefer Vayikra. Instead, no, Vayikra El Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was chosen. And now the story goes on from there. Even though it's Taras Kohanim, right? Even though Vayikra is Taras Kohanim, but nonetheless, the star of Taras Kohanim is still Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Well, Derech Zeh, Yisyashi Masha Yish Ladak Degod, Lama Hutzrach Lomer El Moshe, Lo Hispik Omro Elov, Shechozer El Moshe Shuska B'Samuch. Right? The very fact that it, you know, uses a pronoun for Hashem, but stresses Moshe, can be understood in light of this last Rasha that he said. Why doesn't it say, Vayikra Elov? He called to him. Once we're using a pronoun for Hashem, we could use a pronoun for Moshe Rabbeinu. He called to him. Moshe Rabbeinu was referred to at the end of Pekudei. Right? If using pronouns for God, you can use a pronoun for Moshe Rabbeinu. The point is, because the whole point of this first phrase is to stress that of all the possible candidates for heroes in Sefer Vayikra, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was chosen. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one ultimately who won the day. Right? So a couple of interesting pshatim which the Arachayim gives in terms of that opening pasuk. Let's take a look at the Arachayim on page Yud Ches, Peretz Dalid, pasuk base. Right, Peretz Dalid in Vayikra talks about the karbonos of chatos, the various different sin offerings which are brought under different circumstances. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, the pasuk says, Davro b'nei Yisrael lemar, nefesh, kisechto v'shkogo mikol mitzvah Hashem. When a soul sins unintentionally, following, you know, violating one of the mitzvahs, right? So then he has to bring a korban chatos. Why nefesh? And after all, at the beginning of the Sefer Vayikra, the beginning of the parasha, we said, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem. When a person brings a korban, why here change it? Why not say Adam ki yechta v'shkaka? When a man sins unintentionally, why nefesh ki sechta v'shkaka? Right. Alright, so we'll talk about that pasuk also. Nefesh achotes itamus, right? So hold on that for an idea, for a minute. So Amar Razal, the bottom page of Ches on the left, the Rabbos Geirim. Chazal of a drasha that nefesh comes to include Geirim. V'im l'chol anoshim ha'yil alomar Adam ki yechta ki Adam kol ozachar nekei v'diksiv ha'yikrash mam Adam. Okay. V'v'derech remes. right? That's what Chazal darshan. That's include gerim. But says the Aruch Chaim on a level of redness, there's another way to explain why the pasuk uses the term nefesh. Yechaven ki litzav shenefesh al adam rasha he nechseres. Whenever a person sins, or in particular, if a person is a rasha, his very nefesh is tainted and chipped away at because of the avera which he did. Litzad maise hara themselves are often bemazed. Right? When a person does an intentional sin, it's his neshama, it's his nefesh which is harmed, and ultimately, you know, if the sin is bad enough, that the neshama is diminished almost to the point where it's not there. So let's say you carry a rasha b'chayiv meis. That's what Chazal mean when they say that a rasha is called dead even during his lifetime. V'ksiv b'mos hameis ki ein lo nefesh. The rasha, the ultimate rasha, is so evil that he's eliminated his nefesh. So if you've eliminated your nefesh, you're dead. Now he, what does it mean that he's eliminated his nefesh? You know, so we know the different parts to the neshama, right? So the nefesh achyunis, you know, that's the most basic level of the soul. The metabolism is still keeping him alive, but that chelak elokam imal, you know, the part of the nefesh which is, you know, God's, you know, a little piece of God kivyachol, you know, which is you know instilled in the person. That if you're a big enough rasha, you can erase that, right? So you're dead. Why are you dead? Because you don't have a neshama anymore. I am still walking around. Okay, so I have a metabolism that's keeping me alive. You know, the nefesh achayunis, you know, the most basic level of the neshama that the animals have also. But in terms of the higher order functions, you know, of the neshama, those are gone.
People have the walking dead.
The walking dead. Vuhu gam kein omro im baal nefesh ata. That's what we talk about, I mean, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, that someone who's scrupulous in his observance of mitzvahs is a baal nefesh. We find oftentimes Mishnah Berurah tells us, Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Why is it called a Baal Nefesh? The answer is, the greater tzidkus you have, the more of a neshama you have.
The nefesh is still intact.
Right, the nefesh is still intact. So, Dio HaKosuv, so that's true for a mezid. That's true for someone who's over Avera B'mezid. So the Pasuk here is telling us, Dio HaKosuv, Kisachsar HaNefesh Gam B'chet HaShogeg. Our Pasuk over here is telling us, that not only is your neshama damaged if you do an avera b'mezid intentionally, but even when a person does an avera b'shogeg, even unintentionally, his neshama, his soul, is going to be damaged. Now, ha'emes shlo techsar kula elamichsasa. Right? The nefesh is not going to be totally obliterated when a person does an unintentional sin. In other words, shogeg is not as bad as mezid, but nonetheless, the nefesh is at least partially damaged. Litzad machzor kozev, hu asher amar Hashem ki avi karba. When a person damages his nefesh in that way, by virtue of being a shogeg, that's where he has to bring a karban to achieve kapara. Uvazat tiskarev ha-nefesh l'sharsha. And by bringing a karban, the nefesh comes back to its root. V'yair oro kibat chilo. And the nefesh is able to shine as it did initially. Aval b'mezid shetechsar kula lo yoyil takanas hakarbon. Right? However, you know, when a person does a sin b'mezid, he's beyond help. The carbon can't help him anymore. Ki ein nefesh b'mitzias, because the nefesh is gone. If you're a shogeg, the nefesh has been damaged, so you can fix it through the carbon. But if you're a mezid, the neshama hasn't been damaged, it's been destroyed. So you can't, you know, you can fix a damaged piece of goods, you can't fix a destroyed piece of goods. Ki ein nefesh b'metzias l'karva sheyashuv v'yavur alav yom ha-kippurim v'yichya. Al das omro v'oshivu v'chyu. Right? In other words, you know, you can't fix that soul which has been damaged through mezid. That's why a karban, you know, davka comes, most of the time, karban chatas at least, comes to address the issue of a shogeg. Right? So that's going back to the pasuk that the Aruch Chaim says, Davro b'nei Yisrael, speak to Klal Yisrael and say, nefesh kisechta v'shkaga. When a person sins b'shogeg, he's damaged his nefesh, but at least the nefesh is still there. We can still speak of the nefesh as being an entity which is still present and can be fixed through the karma. When a person sins b'mezid, he doesn't have the nefesh anymore. So there's nothing for the karma to help.
Yeah.
Well, that, but they were also choten b'meisit. In other words, they were intentional sinners. It was just gone. I'm not sure if we did Neor HaChaim, but maybe it's one of the other Pshatim. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, but that would fit in with this Neor HaChaim over here. In other words, you know, the price, one of the prices of being Avarian B'mezid is the, you know, the destruction ultimately, I guess, on the most extreme case of the Nisham. Well, no, so there is tshuva for a person who does a sin b'meizid. That's, you know, the tremendous rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch, that you can rebuild the neshama, but no, you can't fix the neshama. In other words, the carbon is only so powerful. The carbon is, you know, the carbon is like calling a technician, right? You know, your sink is broken, so you call in the technician. Or, you know, your air conditioning unit is broken, you call in a technician, and he'll fix it for you. The carbon is a technician. But if your air conditioning unit fell out the window and smashed into a million pieces, you can call the fix-it guy all you want. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put the air conditioning unit back together again. You know, you're just going to have to buy a new air conditioning unit. Tshuva helps rectify the sin by, you know, by buying a new air conditioning unit. You build or you buy a new unit. The carbon is helpful. It can work for a shogeg, you know, to fix that which is broken. You know, but it's still subject to rehabilitation. Right. So there's a famous drasha from Chazal. You know, that they say who's bringing a mincha? It's an oni, right? So imam is, you know, he has barely anything to support himself. That there in Chazal darshan, you know, Rashi brings it. The nefesh in terms of mincha in a different way. Right, but here, you know, the Rachaim is asking, okay, so Chazal explained why nefesh, you know, is used bedavka for a carbon mincha, but why buy a carbon chatos? You know, so he's addressing that question.
One distinction, or the primary distinction, is on accident or on purpose.
Right.
Are there other distinctions that characterize sin, something where you injure? I mean, what type of sin are we talking about here? In other words, is it the sin that we injure somebody, or...
Right, so carbon chatos is brought on the type of sin that, if done b'mezid, would bring about the penalty of kares. Right, now what is kares exactly? So on some level, this is what he's really referring to. Kares is the destruction of the neshama, the cutting off of the neshama. Right? So in other words, let's say a person is mechalel Shabbos b'shogeg, right? So if he unintentionally violates Shabbos, his nefesh has been damaged. The korban chatos serves to correct that damage. If, however, he violated Shabbos b'mezid, you know, intentionally, so that's something which at the very least is going to earn him this idea of kares, you know, that the soul is going to be cut off, and there he has to do a very, very serious tshuva in order to bring back, you know, this element of the soul that has been destroyed through the Chilul Shabbos. Right, so it's heavy stuff.
Basically. Yeah, but that's a good example, Rabbi Ram. I mean, Shabbos, keeping Shabbos, this, it's not as prevalent, it's not as prevalent as, you know, it could or should be. You know, that we, maybe we say people who don't know the difference are doing it b'shogeg.
So a person might be doing it b'shogeg, right, as opposed to doing it b'mezid. May not understand what's also on Shabbos, may not know of Shabbos, may not understand the severity of Shabbos, but, you know, in the end of the day, you know, a person who willingly and, you know, knowingly violates Shabbos is destroying his neshama. Even a person who violates Shabbos b'shogeg is damaging his neshama, but at least he's not destroying his neshama.
Yeah.
And that's the distinction that the Archaim is presenting in this pasuk. I mean, when you put it like that, it you know, makes you tremble a little bit more. Yeah. You know, when you think about doing aveiros, which I guess if we tremble even a little bit more, is probably a good thing. A little trembling never hurt anybody. Okay. Let's take a look on the facing page on your test. La'ashmas ha'om. The first of the karbanos chatos, which is discussed in the pasuk, was called the Par Kohen Moshiach, the bull of the anointed Kohen. What happened? So the pasuk Gimel says, "Im haKohen haMoshiach yachto la'ashmas ha'om, if the anointed Kohen sins for the guilt of the people, v'ikriv al chatos asher chata, he should bring the following chatos, par ben boker tomim l'Hashem l'chatos. He should bring to atone for the sin which he committed a bull, you know, to Hashem as a korban chatos." Now, what exactly is going on here in the pasuk is not clear, but the Gemara in Horius explains what we're talking about as follows. Says the Gemara in Horius, we're talking about where the Kohen Moshiach, the anointed Kohen, who again was not talking about the Kohen Gadol, right? He's Moshuach, he's anointed with the Shemar HaMishcha. When the Kohen Gadol issues a psak, which is erroneous, and the people follow that psak, and then the Kohen Gadol becomes aware of his error, he has to bring this par Kohen Moshiach. He has to bring the special karbon to atone for his error. This is somewhat distinct from a typical chatas. A typical chatas is, I sinned, so I bring a karbon. Here, the Kohen Gadol doesn't commit the Aveira. The Kohen Gadol is responsible for having told people that the Aveira is okay. Kohen Gadol gets up and makes a public announcement that such and such item, you know, is such and such piece of meat is kosher, it's not treif. And everybody goes out and they eat this piece of meat, or, you know, similar types of meat, you know, based on the psak of the Kohen Gadol. And then it turns out the Kohen Gadol is wrong. Now, we don't usually think of the Kohen Gadol as being a halachic authority, but it's clear from this whole discussion that that was a role that he played. Again, the primary role of Kohanim is not just to be religious functionaries in the Beis HaMikdash, but kisif sechol and yishmeru das. Right? Right, in other words, right, the Kohanim, the Levim, are supposed to be teaching Klal Yisrael. What's that? Right, but where it tells out, where it comes out that he's clearly in error, you know, so then he, the Kohen Gadol, has to bring a karbon to atone for the fact that he misled the people. So Pyro Dalash of Sibur, which is actually the next paragraph in the Chumash, is where the Sanhedrin issues an erroneous psak. Same idea. Right, same idea. Just the question is, who's paskening? Is it the Kohen Gadol is paskening, or the Sanhedrin is paskening? But right, but they same basic idea.
The question is, how does the Sanhedrin let the Kohen get away with it? They didn't know that the Kohen Gadol makes a psak, or what? The
other,
does the Sanhedrin
like hear what
the Kohen Gadol?
How does the Sanhedrin scenario? I guess for whatever reason, it's independent of the Sanhedrin. As he makes a proclamation, maybe the Sanhedrin caught it. Right? But from the time, you know how bureaucracy works, you know, from the time the Kohen Gadol made the psak till the Sanhedrin caught it, you know, so 50,000 people went out and, you know, bought themselves this tray for piece of meat and, you know, had a good time. Oh, so interestingly enough, the Gemara Harius says that the Kohen Moshiach, the Kohen Gadol himself, who just sins, you know, he's Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he doesn't bring a korban chatos at all. Which the Arachaim is going to talk about. That's a little bizarre. In other words, the only way, says the Gemara Horius, the only way that a Kohen Gadol would ever bring a korban chatos is to atone for an erroneous psak that the people followed up on. To atone for his personal sins, you know, the typical korban chatos, there is no such concept. You know, the Kohen Gadol gets a free pass when it comes to Korban Chatos. But that's not, you know, but that's not a typical Korban Chatos. That's part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It's Mechaper for, you know, himself and his family. But in other words, you know, if he's Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg one week, you know, a typical Jew, the next week would report to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a Korban Chatos. Kohen Gadol doesn't have to do anything. Right? So why is that? That's another theme that Archai is going to talk about. So this phrase, la'ashmas ha'am, again, going back to the pasuk, if the kohen sins la'ashmas ha'am for the guilt of the people, it's a difficult phrase to translate. Art Scroll over here translates as follows: if the anointed kohen will sin, bringing guilt upon the people. But that's not such a literal translation of the pasuk, right? The literal translation of the pasuk sounds more like if he sins for the guilt of the people, or even maybe because of the guilt of the people, not bringing guilt upon the people. He's not the cause of their guilt; he's the result of their guilt. So, what does that mean? So, the Arachaim addresses this in the bottom of page Yutes, in the left-hand column. Yisbar al derech Chazal hamizakis harabim ein chet baal yodim. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos that if somebody works, you know, on behalf of the community at large, he does good things for the community, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides him with a special schus, with a special privilege, that he will never be the vehicle for other people sinning. Right? It's a special promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're working for the community, God will ensure, you know, that you won't cause the community to mess up. Ay, uvir os, ki karna Moshiach chata. So then how do you explain this case of Kohen Moshiach, because that's precisely what happened over here. You know, he's the Kohen Gadol, and yet he misled the people. Zei Yagid Shlo Zachu HaZochem Al Yodo Kidei Shlo Yovo Chet Al Yodo Bishvilo. Right? That indicates that somehow it's somehow they're not worthy. Right? In a bizarre kind of sense, the fact that the Kohen Gadol wasn't sufficiently protected by Hashem, you know, from making this kind of erroneous psak, reflects badly on the people. Because had the people been zocher, in other words, you know, had the people been on a sufficient level of tzidkus, God would not have caused this error to come about through the, you know, through the Kohen Gadol. Hamizake es harabim, one who brings about merit for the masses. Right? Ein chet ba'al yado. If chet was ba'al yado, if he was the vehicle for them sinning, obviously it means that they didn't have sufficient chusim, sufficient merits, for him to be protected from being the vehicle of sin. So therefore, v'hu omro la'ashmas ha'am. That's what the pasuk says, because of the sin of the people. Im ha'kohen ha'moshiach yecheto. Should the Kohen Gadol sin, meaning, should he paskin erroneously what the people should do? It's la'ashmas ha'am. It's because of the guilt of the people that they weren't worthy to have a person leading them who wouldn't mess up. I think, in a sense, it's a symbiotic relationship. And as Rabbi Rubin points out, you know, by Ari Miklot, the Kohen Gadol is held accountable because he didn't daven sufficiently for the people. And here, the people are held accountable because the Kohen Gadol messed up. So I think they're both true. Meaning, you know, we need one another, right? In other words, the Kohen Gadol needs the schus of the people. The people need the tefillos of the Kohen Gadol. It's a symbiotic relationship, you know. Right, exactly. It's a reciprocal type of relationship. Right?
How about this perspective also? Is bringing the carbon potluck, are there other redemptive things that you have to do besides bringing the carbon if you sin?
Well, you're misvada, you confess, you know, when you bring the carbon chata, so there's a certain tshuva element which is part of it also.
So you have to give up whatever you did wrong.
Right. And as the guy says, you know, I'm getting a carbon chatos, but I'm going to go back to the same Avera next week, you know, so that's... But again, it's less relevant because, you know, generally speaking, when you bring the carbon chatos, it's stuff that you did for shogeg, so... It's stuff you did unintentionally, right? So it's not as if you're stuck in intentional sin to begin with. You know, you bring it for when you mess up, basically. Right? Now, Uvetaras Kohanim Darshu Ki La'ashmas Ha'am Yecharei Akasa Baharas Min HaChet. Chazal interpret this pasuk with this phrase La'ashmas Ha'am to tell us the kind of chet we're talking about, namely Shuhel Amdol and Shigas Maisek Amel La'ashmas Ha'am. Right? When it says in Makoyin HaMashiach Yechta the Kohen Gadol sins, and then the people follow through on his psak. Right? That's again how Chazal get to the understanding we had before. Right? So, again, as we mentioned before, Chazal say that when a Kohen Gadol commits a regular sin, that a regular person will bring a Korban Chatas from, he's entirely potter. Right? Furthermore, right, if the Kohen Gadol is not a great Chacham, right, the Gemara uses the term Chacham Mufla, a well-known posek, let's say in modern terms. The Kohen Gadol is not a well-known posek, Hareza Potter Mikolin Korbos. The Kohen Gadol would never bring any kind of Korban Chatas. Ben Be'elam Dover V'shigas Maisa, Ben V'shigas Maisa Levar. Whether the special Par Kohen Moshiach he doesn't bring, because you have to be a big Talmud Chacham in order to be, you know, chayim in that Korban. But even a Kohen Gadol who's an Am Haaretz, you know, and is exempt from a Par Kohen Gadol, you know, Par Kohen Moshiach, is also exempt from a typical Korban Chatas. So in other words, Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz, in a sense, has the best of both worlds. You know, he's never chayiv in a Korban Chatas. But Sarat lost his time with Dover Zeh. So this requires explanation. Why should he get a free pass just because he's a Kohen Gadol? But again, he doesn't bring a personal Korban. But again, he doesn't bring a personal Korban every time his Mechal Shabbos B'Shov. Right, there's a general carbon he brings on Yom Kippur, but he doesn't bring, again, a Stam Jew, who's Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg five times a year, will bring five Korbanos Chatos. Not so the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol never brings a personal Korban Chatos for a personal sin, and if he's the Kohen Gadol who's not a Chacham Ufla, who's not a great Gadol, you know, so he's not going to bring a Korban Chatos ever. How do you understand that? V'ulai, perhaps, ki ha'osem be'helam davar u'chacham mufla, shkogazo osa roshem gadol b'nishmasa, u'machik nafsho misharsha, v'lo yoz z'chusam shal yisar shu mechaper ba'adol l'mno mimeru hapkam. Maybe the pshat is as follows. When a great Talmud Chacham, when a Kohen Gadol is a great Talmud Chacham, paskins erroneously for the people, and they follow that leaves a tremendous stain on his neshama. And that stain has to be wiped away by the Korban Chatas. Masha ein kein kol shogeg b'maisa levan o behelam dover v'enol chacham mufla chet ze lo yifol pegam b'vchinas nefesh kohen Moshiach l'roch kom yisharsha kidei shiftar l'karban l'karva. Amazingly, if you're a Kohen Gadol and you're mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, your neshama is unaffected. We learned before, right? Nefesh kisechta. When a person does an avera b'shogeg, says the Aruch Chaim, his very nefesh is damaged. There's one exception to this: the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, when he violates sins b'shogeg, his neshama is unaffected. The only time the neshama of the Kohen Gadol is affected is when he paskins for Klal Yisrael and erroneously, and the masses go out there and they violate halacha based on his say-so. But a stam chil Shabbos b'shogeg doesn't impact, says the Aruch Chaim, on the neshama of the Kohen Gadol. How could you say such a thing? So zot the Aruch Chaim, ki be'emtsaos z'chus harabim, hen kel kavir lo yimas. The Kohen Gadol has the rabbim, Klal Yisrael, rooting for him. He has the z'chus harabim. And the Schus HaRabim, the merit of the masses, is so incredibly powerful that it protects the Kohen Gadol against sin. If the Aruch Chaim didn't say this, I'd be afraid to say this, right? The Aruch Chaim says it, right? So it's almost like an automatic thing that just doesn't impact on it, you know? Yeah, in other words, the Kohen Gadol has a force field that protects him. The force field is the Schus HaRabim. Right? Now, the Reuven before mentioned about this incredible relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the people. You know, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to daven for the people, right? The people, their Schus, keep the Kohen Gadol from sinning. And now the Aruch Chaim is adding another layer to that. the people's chus is so great that when the Kohen Gadol sins on a private level, not when he sins, you know, in misleading the people, but when he sins on a private level, the chus of the rabbin is so powerful that the chait doesn't leave a roshem, it doesn't leave an impact upon it. Right? So powerful is the chus of rabbin. And take home lesson, you know, for, we don't have any Kohanim Gadolim, but take home lesson is that anyone who's working, you know, on behalf of the Jewish community, it's not free license to sin. Again, we're only talking about a chet b'shogeg, not a chet b'mezid, right? A chet b'mezid, the schus haram isn't going to protect you. I don't care what Kohen Gadol you are. You know, Kohen Gadol is chote b'mezid, is subject to all the regular penalties that anyone else is subject to. But at least the schus harabim works for somebody who's working on behalf of the Jewish community, that it protects him from the impact of an aver b'shogeg. It's a very powerful idea. You know, it's... Right, but it's a very, very powerful idea, and certainly, you know, from the perspective of those who work on behalf of the Jewish community, a tremendous source of chizuk. I'm sorry? Yeah, right. I mean, well, again, because the Kohen Gadol is the extreme of all of those. In other words, Kohen Gadol is the Rav to the max. I mean, we don't say that Rabbanim get off on the Korban Chatos, but the Kohen Gadol, who's the ultimate one who represents the tzibur, right? The ultimate one who's being the carried klal yisrael avim shabash shamayim, you know, so he gets this force field from the schus harabim. Not even the melech. Right? The melech we're going to read about later on. The melech later on the parasha, asher nasi yechta means that the melech, you know, brings a carbon chatas also. The only thing is that, you know, as opposed to everyone else who brings a kispa or a se'ira, right, a lamb or a goat, you know, the melech, when he sins and has to bring carbon chatas, it's only a se'irism, right? It's a male goat as opposed to being a female goat. Okay, so the actual carbon is different. But, you know, the melech also has to bring a carbon chatas when he messes up. Right? But the Kohen Gadol has this kind of force field around him because of the schus harabim. Even when he messes up, b'shogeg, the chait doesn't leave an impact on his nisham. It's an unbelievable idea. Tremendous source of chizuk, you know, for people involved, you know, in Avodah Saklal. Again, I'm not saying that it applies literally, but, you know, the idea that somehow the schus haram could be a very powerful thing to protect you from Averis B'shogeg, on some level, is a powerful idea. Right, and going back to the original point, you can understand now why Aaron and his sons, right, Yaakov Pollard points out that you know that we can understand why, you know, why Aaron and his sons really had a havam, you know, that they would be chosen as the protagonists of Sefer Vayikra because nishlech to be a Kohen Gadol, you know, it's a big deal.
So in other words, the Kohen doesn't have anything.
Guess not. You know, you gotta wait for the big bucks. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll wish everyone a good Shabbos, and we should be zocha to continue learning together.